Our lesson tonight is out of Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 27. Christ's identity as God's Savior by His teaching on entering God's kingdom. If Jesus is a perfectly righteous God's Savior of the world, then His view on how one gains eternal life should reflect the grace of God, namely that God saves man by His unmerited favor versus any dependence on human merit or works. However, Luke chapter 18 to 22 seems to teach to some that Jesus believed that salvation came by keeping the law, that it was by human works and merit opposite God, belief in God's grace and His unmerited favor. The reason is when this rich man came to Jesus and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, why do you call me good? None is good but God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these I have kept up to my youth. When Jesus heard these things, he said, yet lackest one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven and come follow me. On the surface, that looks like he's promoting salvation by keeping the law. But we want to look at the context, we want to look at the flow of thought, to see exactly what the Lord Jesus is doing. Because if Jesus is teaching salvation by keeping the law, and Paul is, on the other hand, teaching justification is by faith and not by the deeds of the law, we've got a tremendous conflict. So we need to understand what this passage means. Well, the context of Luke 18, 15 to 27 shows otherwise that Jesus is a perfectly righteous God's true Savior of the world, and it gives wonderful application regarding the teaching of the rest of the Word of God. Okay, I want to read the passage first, and then we'll look at it. We'll start at verse 15, because this whole context flows together. We'll read verses 15 to 27 of Luke chapter 18. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Truly I say unto you that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why do you call me good? There is none good except God, or there is none good save one that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these I've kept from my youth on up. Now when Jesus heard that, he said unto him, yet do you lack one thing? And of course he's dealing with the one commandment he left out, is thou shalt not covet. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. Now when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very wealthy. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hard shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Okay, this whole context flows together as a unit. Jesus taught that entrance into the kingdom of God came apart from human merit. For everyone who enters it must do so like a little helpless infant who is completely dependent upon others. When people brought their children to Jesus in Luke 18:15 so he could bless them, they were not just little children like the Greek New Testament term pais means, at times can mean, but they were infants because the Greek word there is brephos, and brephos is used only of an infant. In fact, this will interest you, in Luke chapter 1, verse 41 and verse 44, when John the Baptizer was still in the womb of his mother, he was 6 months along, he was called a brephos. So it can also refer to an embryo that is still in the womb. So these were little tiny children. These were babies. A lot of them probably were fairly newborn babies. Maybe they were a couple of weeks old, maybe a month old, and so forth. These were little tiny children. Children that are that size are helpless. They can't protect themselves. They can't feed themselves. They can't think for themselves. You can take just about every other animal in the animal kingdom, and even when it's an infant, it has a greater capacity to take care of itself than does a human infant. A human infant is totally helpless, totally dependent upon his parents, his mother, and his father, to protect him and the society around him. So, Jesus' disciples, when they rebuked these parents for bothering Jesus with their effort, and Jesus countered, telling the disciples to allow these children to approach him, that of such were the kingdom of God, in Luke 18:16, he taught that people entered God's kingdom through no human merit or work of their own, just as infants or unborn infants are helpless to produce meritorious works for salvation. Did you get that? Jesus said, of such are the kingdom of God. You're talking about a two-week-old baby or a one-month-old baby. Absolutely helpless. That's how you have to enter the kingdom of God. You have to come to God on His terms. And you can't come in there wowing God or impressing God in any way. It doesn't work. None of us can impress God. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. So every one of us has to come to God. If we're going to be saved, we have to come to God on His terms. And like an absolute infant, recognize that before God, we are helpless to help ourselves. And we throw ourselves upon the mercy of God and believe in Him. And then He saves us by His grace. Just like an infant is totally dependent upon its mother to feed him, to clothe him, to keep him warm. That's how we have to come to God. We have to come to God as an infant. Now, there's no merit involved in that. Now, Jesus also taught that entrance into the kingdom of God came apart from human merit, since it is impossible for anyone to enter the kingdom by way of meritoriously keeping the law. Right after Jesus' Luke 8:15 to 17 comments, the incident in Luke 18:18 to 27 with the rich ruler occurred. And we know this fact from Luke's testimony in Luke 1:3, where he said that he was recording the events as they occurred in consecutive order. The Greek word is very technical there in Luke 1:3. He wrote these things down in consecutive order. It's interesting, Matthew's a Jew, Mark was a Jew, John was a Jew, and they wrote, like Jews, they wrote in reference to a theme. Luke is a Gentile. Luke is interested in the order of the events. He wanted to know all the events from A to Z, just like we do. We think in a Western mind. That's how Luke thought. And we're very, very privileged to have a gospel by a Gentile who thought the way we did. So he recorded the events in consecutive order. So this incident follows right upon Jesus' speaking about babes. So we have to remember, he can't be contradicting himself. Now, accordingly, when a certain ruler asked Jesus what he should do to inherit eternal life, addressing Jesus as good master, in keeping with his focus on God's grace in the Luke 18:15 to 17 incident that had occurred immediately before this, in other words, his comments about babies, Jesus asked the man why he had addressed him as good, for no one is really good except God. In other words, what Jesus revealed is that this man did not realize that he was sinful and that he was destitute of the righteousness needed for salvation. See, Jesus is going after this man. How come you call me good? No one's good except God. The implication is you're not either. The thing is, this man doesn't know it. So what is Jesus going to do to show him his need? Okay, let's see if you've kept the law. It's interesting when you read in the Revelation, I think it's Revelation 19, when it talks about the great white throne, when unsaved people stand before God, He's going to pull out the books and He's going to judge them according to their works. Now why? Because unsaved people are works oriented. You know, they think they ought to be able to cut it, you know, that, you know, they've made the curve. At least we got a D. I didn't get an F, Lord. So they're going to stand before God and they're going to give all their works. God says, all right, let's look at your works. And he's going to have their works, and then he's going to have how those works are tainted by sin. He's going to talk about all their sins, and they're going to be horrified because he's kept a record of everything. Every thought is there. Every word, every deed, it's all down there. And then the Bible says, whoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Because nobody by his works is going to cut it. But it's interesting, Jesus deals with this man as he's going to deal with unbelievers at the throne. Okay, let's look at your works. So, to expose the truth, Jesus did what the Apostle Paul claimed the law did. He used it to expose this man's sin, not to save him. It's interesting that Jesus directed this self-righteous ruler to the Ten Commandments, revealing that he failed to heed the Thou Shalt Not Covet command and his attachment to his wealth. In verse 20, he said, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. Jesus named commandments that he knew that this man had been keeping, relatively so. And he said, I've kept these from my youth up. But then Jesus knew he hadn't kept the one about not coveting. This is a problem that a lot of wealthy people have. They covet the wealth that they have. They want to hang on to it. And Jesus knew in his heart that this man had this wealth. And he had this covetous problem. So he says, yet you lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, this doesn't mean that God wants all wealthy people to sell everything they have today. This is a unique situation in which he was presenting himself as the Messiah. With the Messiah present on the earth, you are supposed to drop everything and follow him. And then he would provide the kingdom. This is why Peter and James and John and these others had dropped everything. We don't have that situation today. This is a unique situation. So keep in mind, this does not mean that God wants you to sell everything. If he were on the earth and Jesus was presenting his kingdom, that'd be different. But he's not doing that right now. In fact, when he was presenting his kingdom, Jesus would feed you. He'd take the loaves and break them and miraculously feed you. So you didn't have to have that problem. He took care of that. But anyway, this man was latching on to his possessions. Verse 23, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he is very wealthy. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hard shall they that have the riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this is exactly what Paul taught. Paul taught that according to the law, that the law, no man shall be justified through the law, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. All the law does is expose man's failure to keep it. And that's what Jesus was doing here. Now, so in line with his Luke 18:15 to 17 teaching on the helplessness of man to save himself, much like infants who are helpless, Jesus conceded and concluded that it was easier for a camel to go through a sewing needle's eye. It's the Greek word balones. It's not a small door in a city gate, as some suggest this means, than for a rich man who coveted his wealth to enter into God's kingdom. There was a little tiny gate in the wall in Jerusalem that was called the Eye of the Needle. And it was something that was small. And that way, after the gates had been closed, if someone had forgotten something, they could go out through this little gate and then come back in. And it was a very easy one to protect and to guard. And some people think that he's talking about a camel going through this eye. That would be a little wall, gate maybe 4.5 feet tall we have to stoop to go through, and maybe 18 inches wide. But that's not the word for camel, for the eye of the needle. This is a sewing needle. We all know sewing needles, how those eyes are so small. Sometimes you can't even get a thread to go through it, you know. You have to like that. So you'd have to feed the whole camel through this little eye. That's easier than getting a rich man into heaven. Now, when Jesus said that, notice his disciples responded. And verse 26, they who heard it said, who then can be saved? Now, if you can't get a camel to go through the little eye of a little sewing needle, is anybody going to be saved? Notice what Jesus said. The things which are impossible with men, in other words, the salvation, are possible with God. It is impossible with men. That's what Jesus is saying. It's impossible for man to save himself. It's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So, when Jesus' listeners asked who then can be saved, he answered, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And this is a clear statement by Jesus that self-help salvation is impossible with men, though salvation is possible with God. See, what Jesus was doing was actually applying what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul taught that the law was given to condemn, to show us our need. It locked us all up in the prison house of sin, so that when Jesus came along with the cross, he could open the door and say, come through me and you get out. You have life. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus and Paul saw absolutely eye to eye on this. All the law did was condemn, because it demonstrated the weakness of man, man's inability. So if there's anyone here tonight who has not come to Christ by faith alone, and you're trying to get to heaven by your own good works, I have to share with you that it'll never work. None of us, including myself, has the righteousness within ourselves to make it into heaven. We have to have borrowed righteousness. We have to have the righteousness that Jesus Christ brought to us by faith. We are justified as a gift of God. So the lesson is both Jesus and the Apostle Paul clearly taught that it is impossible for one to justify himself before God. For everyone must realize his helplessness in the matter, just like an infant is helpless, and throw himself upon God's mercy to be saved by grace through faith. So in application, may we believe in Jesus Christ to be saved, and may we teach justification by faith alone.